Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party. Is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples.
You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/CJSF Radio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party, and I am DJ Coco.
And I am DJ Star. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We are here every Tuesday at 6 p.m., even though the last two times have been pre-recorded, actually.
Yeah.
So it's been a while since we've actually been here in the studio, but we're so happy to be here. We have an interesting philosophy of science conversation coming up later in this program, but... you know, we're not going to give it all away too soon.
Yeah, so stay tuned, and we're just going to start off with our first couple songs as of right now.
The first song is Not Today by The Marlowes, and they're an Indonesian soul funk jazz band. Really good song. I've been listening to it all week.
Hope you enjoy.
Enjoy.
Sunrays, sun in the sun. Greetings, netizens. Join us every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific for Bitcoover FM, featuring the best in chiptune, video game soundtracks, synthesized music, history of electronic instruments, and more, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We'll see you in the virtual plaza, and remember to synthesize with nostalgia.
Strike a match. I wanna cut it off. I wanna take it back. I wouldn't take you back. Now I'm in the dark by the city hall clock, and I'm lighting up like you left the light on. Did I fuck it up?
Don't cry, just drive away, whatever. Becoming a champion, you still have a fight. We still need the round at least for local parking. Is it gonna be okay after skating a while? I'm the tallest child.
A Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is the place to be, featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee. Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, how do you get up and go?
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. You're tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco.
And I'm DJ Star. The song that you just heard before that PSA was Champion by Pompoko. It was recommended to me by Connor, the music director at the station. He has a show coming up, Vancouver, at 8 p.m., so go listen to that.
Yes.
And then before that was Lucky Streak by Kylie V. So a bit of indie folk music from Vancouver. And today, now we are ready to get into our topic, I think.
We're going to try our best.
We're going to try. I think we're going to do good, even, you could say.
Yeah. I have good hopes. We'll see.
So you can
be the judge.
The topic is feminist philosophy of science, which is, before we get straight into the different theories of feminist philosophy of science, I just want to talk about what they're in response to, which is this andocentrism bias in science. And andocentrism is basically just the centrality of men or focusing on men. So there is, in the scientific world, a lot of focus on men because historically most scientists have been male and have been studying male subjects with male bodies, cis male bodies being the norm.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to say, like, a particular example that I thought of was for car crashes. So for testing car crashes in this case, that they use male dummies to put into the cars to test the amount of injuries or injuries passed. And so that's why women are more prone to car injuries, because by using male dummies, they have a difference in the bone density or the structure mm-hmm. of the dummy and the bone difference in bone density and the different weight distribution. So that's just one example.
Yeah. And that's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. Even just that example.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Building upon that in general is that there is a certain gender socialization that goes into men and women, and you tend to act differently and express yourself differently, all these kind of differences. So we can also apply this bias in social sciences as well, like psychology and things like that. It's not just biology or medicine. Like, we see it across like a very, the very diverse field of sciences. So I just wanted to give you guys a bit of an example that I didn't even know about before I started getting into the research of andocentrism and just how, like, permeating these gender stereotypes are. So for a long time with fertilization, human fertilization, there was this kind of Sleeping Beauty, Prince Charming, dynamic between this passive egg, like the female egg, and all these hero sperm who are, like, you know, battling to get first to the egg and, you know, win the prize or whatever. Like, one heroic sperm is going to do it while the egg is just, like, sitting there waiting. And it does kind of play into these certain gender stereotypes. And that is kind of what I realized I didn't know before. But actually, the egg has these things called microvilli, which they actually select which sperm can come in, and they draw the sperm in instead of the sperm just going straight to the target.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's not just, you know, it's not just Sleeping Beauty, Prince Charming. Yeah, like,
there
are certain nuances to science that have not been uncovered. And yeah, this one has been realized a bit more, but I didn't know that before this.
Yeah, that's pretty difficult to study, the particular microvilli. Mm-hmm. I wonder what kind of sperm it likes, but that's another story.
I also wonder. So yeah, that's just a bit about andocentrism. I have one more example, and it's just like this whole idea where the dominant models of the world are made by men because men are interested in men, right? And then they just kind of apply that to humanity a lot of times, even though it doesn't always encompass humanity. So,
female interests are kind of pushed aside.
Yeah. The theory of, like, the stages of moral development theory by Lawrence Kohlberg. I learned about this in first year psychology. And it was actually based on a bunch of interviews done with male subjects and then, yeah, applied to the, like, all of humanity. And it doesn't necessarily apply to women because there's, like, different stages where you become politically aware at a certain point, and then that guides your morals, or punishment guides your morals. Like, it's a stages theory. But women that he interviewed didn't fit in with that all the time. Then he just were like, oh, they're stuck in this certain stage of moral development, even though it's just a completely different development for women, focusing on certain different things. So yeah, just another example.
Yeah, it's critical to have both points of view. I know that they are trying to work on it, though. I know that the National Institute of Health, for their anyone that undergoes or needs funding for their kind of research, so in 1993 they called for any research to be funded to include both genders for their experiments, which is good. At least they're getting more aware from that. But yeah, previously on those things, I don't think it was the same at all. I also wanted to discuss a little bit about gender socialization in this role, for the role of woman in sciences. So I think personally, if we're talking about women who go into STEM and the reason why, particularly why women just don't want to go into STEM fields, there's, I know it's a multi, it's a very intersectional issue of many things, but I also feel, I've been reading a book called Different, and how it's called Different, How Apes Can Teach Us About Gender by France de Waals, and it talks about how women or females also have biological preferences to go into more or go into more nurturing roles or be socialized in that aspect, which I'm not saying that all female or all women are like that, but I just want to mention that for one part of gender socialization, which is not something that I feel like it goes against my typical argument of saying that the media influences gender and all those other things, and that adults socialize children, but I feel like there might be a more of a biological innate sense of women wanting to go into fields that are not the hard sciences. I can explain a bit more, but DJ Star, what is your opinion? Because I know that I'm pretty sure you're not for this.
I'm just wondering if it's all apes or like how they kind of determined that it was completely biological, because I know apes have like social groups and social settings and social roles as well.
Yeah, they didn't find exactly that it was 100% like, oh, girls are all wanting to be more nurturing or this or that. Mm-hmm. But particularly there were three points that I remembered for chimpanzees, particularly because just a little bit of primatology right here. For humans, the closest relatives for us are chimpanzees and bonobos equally. They both share 96% of
we share 96% of our DNA with them. So they are our closest relatives. So
that's a lot.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot. And so they are very, very similar to us, even though they don't seem as so. And they have a lot of the similar behaviors. And so by researching and just studying the behavior of chimpanzees particularly, it can also kind of inflect into our own gender socialization and among other things. So three things that I kind of took away was that, one, for female chimpanzees, they did an experiment where the both female chimpanzees and male chimpanzees were given the choice between an object, which was like a toy car, I think it was a toy car, or versus a doll. And they found that the male chimpanzees would always go for the toy car, always, always. But the female, she would go, not equally, but the majority for the doll, but also for the toy sometimes. But it was clear that the male chimpanzees were majority and more than majority focused on that toy.
Was it a doll, like a human doll? Or
no,
a doll.
I think it was
monkey?
Just a plush. It was just,
oh, just a plush.
Yeah, just like a plush.
Yeah.
Something like that. It was not a human or anything. And so there was that one point. And DeWalls also mentioned two other points that are more related to humans, which kind of changed my views a little bit. I'm still open-minded about this, but there was another thing for humans that gender socialization for being universally cultural. We have universally cultural traits for women and men. And so this may relate more into maybe this reasons why girls go less into STEM is that particularly boys across 70 plus countries, there was a study that boys value independence, self-enhancement, and status. And on the other hand, girls value more well-being of themselves and others and the idea of helping others and wanting to make a difference in things. And so I feel like that kind of reflects the values of STEM and versus not going to STEM, because I feel like STEM is more about, or not more about, but those jobs typically include things like engineers and computer sciences. And I don't feel like those are particularly nurturing jobs, and that this is not the sole reason, 100%, but I feel like this may be a contributing factor that I feel like doesn't get enough importance. And girls typically will go for more jobs that want to make a difference, like a teacher or nursing, a nurse or psychologist or veterinarian and things like that. And then I'm kind of going off into a tangent now, but the third one was...
Wait. Yeah, I just want to know, like, what that questionnaire across like 70 countries and them answering these characteristics that are important to them, mm-hmm. like how does that determine that it is biology?
I don't think it's biology, but it's just that if on a grander scheme of things, if that this many people relate to these questions, I would say that the personal interests lie into more bigger context that may have a role of biology if it's on that grand of a scale of that boys valuing this and girls valuing
but
this.
But it is, for me, I see it also like those are quite patriarchal roles, like very typical. And yeah, even though it is across 70 countries, I feel like the patriarchy is pretty all-encompassing of
those
countries.
Leads me into my third point.
Okay.
Point that... Yeah, I do agree with that, though, that maybe there's definitely other factors that are influencing what they value as important. But the third point was that before, at birth, one day after birth, it talks about in the book how there was a study that they had the baby who was just born, I think only a couple hours old, and they were given the option to look at the human face in front of them or to the sparkly object beside them. And so I think this is more representing if the genders are more socially oriented or more object oriented. I'm not sure what the object is supposed to represent, but it showed that girls are more likely to look at the human face, while boys are most likely to look at the toy right after pregnancy. And so they were not influenced by anything around them or the mother's actions or the media.
But what does that mean?
That's the thing. I believe that, I think I take away from this is that there's definitely a difference in how we think between female mm-hmm. or male and female, because they're both looking at two different things. I think looking at the face is more something more indicating a more social importance on social being social, and that was particularly maybe naturally selected. But that's something that I have to look more into. But combined three of these things, I feel like can make a solid point altogether that there is a factor, I feel like, that is biological that influences gender, or that influences why women may not go into sciences as much, just because of personal preference. But not that's also
I disagree.
Just one thing, because I do believe that there is systemic issues. There's other things. There's so many other things, and it's not just this at all.
I just feel like it is probably enough evidence for us to see that there are definitely biological differences in the way that men and women think, but then extrapolating it to the point of, you know, choosing career paths as a biological like
I think
inclination.
Because like I feel like we have natural preferences that maybe that in like by watching chimpanzees, our closest relatives, and bonobos, they both have gender roles that are not ours are very exaggerated, but I believe that they do have similar underlying gender roles as humans.
I thought you said bonobos were like driven by female power.
Yeah, they are female oriented. I don't know what their typical roles are particularly. But things like just to back up as well. So chimpanzees are more male dominated, and bonobos, which are also our other closest, are female dominated apes. And so they typically both lead very clashing lifestyles. But I believe that even though the females are female dominated and the males are male dominated, and the chimpanzees are kind of more